Yeah, you already know. Come on. You know what time it is.
Hey, yo, I represent Queens.
Please, let them know.
Live from the 718.
Buck, 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 brat. Gunshot, bullet, bullet.
Brat. Queen, stand up.
Queen, stand up. Stand the F up.
Put a little more effort into it, Joel. Come on.
Stand up.
There you go.
It's been a long day. It's midweek. It's hump day.
It is hump day. Yo, I am tired, bro.
I'm real tired. Well, you know what I'm really tired of?
What's that?
These long delays between our pods.
We are so bad at doing these. But you were in Mexico when we last left from our last podcast.
I came back from Congo, went to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
But I'm here now. It's good to be back, man. I mean, I've been back for a while, but
you've been back.
When I mean good to be back, it's good to be back live and direct with you.
I know we've had some minor technical difficulties, but I'm a little. I guess we'll get into that. But why don't we kind of catch up on where you've been? How was your Mexico trip?
Yo, Mexico was dope, man. I went with my girlfriend, and it was really nice. I highly recommend Mexico to anybody.
Which where in Mexico did you go?
We were in DF, Mexico City, Ciudad de Mexico, and then also in Chiapas. Chiapas was a lot more of kind of like nature. Well, the city where we were in, San Cristobal, was a city. But we saw a lot of like sites, waterfalls and all that stuff. But Mexico is dope, man. I recommend it, really. Especially if you like to get out and see things. You know, there's always time for resorts and beaches.
Right, right. But so where did you stay around when you went there?
So we did Airbnb. I'm a big Airbnb fan. Yeah. You know, these hotels better be nervous.
Today's Made in 83 podcast brought to you by B&B. Airbnb.
Yeah. That would be a...
It's really not. I'm sorry, Airbnb.
No, I know. Jesus, with these copyright infringements. That would be a good sponsor.
That would be a good sponsor. Just to let you all know, we need sponsors.
I know. If you want to sponsor us,
we're here.
Whoever. Walmart, I don't care.
I don't care.
But no, we did Airbnbs, and it was a really good time. I went ziplining.
Oh, shit. Always wanted to do ziplining.
It's a lot of fun if you do it correctly.
Why? Did you just kind of get stuck and just kind of go down?
Well, you know, we went down and you saw people go before you and they did it well. But the guy who was explaining, I'm not blaming it on the guy, but I'm just saying, he explained it, but he was, you know, speaking in Spanish and yo hablo un poquito. Yo no hablo más. Yo no comprende mucho, but you know.
Yeah, that sounds dope, bro.
Yeah, it sounds dope, but yeah, no. So he was saying, you know, I was, yeah. And so I'm going down, and then I'm like, woo, yeah. And then my shit stops halfway.
Why?
I was holding on to the brake too long.
Oh, damn.
Halfway, I stopped. I was like, uh-oh. Yo, I'm not moving. And then,
could you, like, push yourself?
Oh, I'm trying. But you know what? I didn't want to move too much at that point. I was like, no sudden movements and get ready to grab the cable cord just in case your shit snaps. So,
right.
And then I see a guy coming at me, like the rescue guy, and I had to get rescued. from the zip lining.
What happened? How did they rescue you?
So one guy came and he was like pulling towards me, and he came and got me, and I was like holding on for dear life.
Did he explain at all why you got stuck?
I mean, yeah, he did. He said, you know, you were holding the brake too long, but this is in Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend comes after me, who's not the most athletic person. Sorry, baby, it's true. But she came out looking like Spider-Man. And the first thing she said was, yo, everybody was laughing at you. The guide was like, that's how you not do that. Don't do what he did.
So you just were going and you were holding onto the brake the whole time you were going down?
So basically when you zip line, it's almost like you have to pretend you're sitting on a chair, but you're not. You're being held by this cable cord.
Right.
And you're not really supposed to hold on to anything, but you hold on to the rope.
Okay.
Because just to kind of brace yourself, but you're not really supposed to hold on to anything. And
right.
I pulled on the rope as hard as I could, just to like brace myself. And right. It was the break.
Oh, shit.
But it was beautiful, though. But I was a little nervous once I stopped midair.
Wow. I'm sorry that you didn't have as much fun on the zip line as I thought you would.
It was fun until I stopped, until I got stuck. But Mexico is great. The food is amazing. The people are real cool. Ate lots of fruit. They put salt, lime, and hot sauce on everything.
Wow.
Everything. It don't even matter. Sal y limón, sí.
They, I saw your photos on Instagram. You can follow Joel at Joey25 on Instagram. He had some dope photos from the Lucha Libre.
Yeah,
that looked like some fun action.
It looked really, it was fun, and not only looked fun, it was really fun. People just cursing out the wrestlers. I know curses in Spanish.
Puta.
Yeah.
Tu madre, porky.
But that was fun. But all in all, it was a great trip. It's always good to get out of town for a little bit.
Yeah.
See some new things. But you know, I'm back and I'm happy that the weather's changing.
The weather's good. I feel like every podcast we do, we always got to talk about the weather. We got to give some update on what's going on.
I know. It's because
our birds are chirping.
They become seasonal.
They become seasonal. We finally got some above 60 degree weather up here in New York City.
I know. And I was in D.C. last week, and it was gloomy as hell here, but in D.C. it was spring. It was full-blown spring.
Yeah, it's been a long-ass winter. I feel like this time last year, we were already kind of in spring mode fully, and we're just kind of getting into it right now. So, you know, it is what it is. I was going to say, other than catching up, we also tried to, which we successfully did, we finally uploaded your first podcast on your own, The Global Citizen.
Yeah, thanks for that. Shout out to everybody who heard it. We tried to post, well, I tried to post episode 2. I had a guest, a friend of mine, who, you know, it was a really great podcast. Unfortunately, technical difficulties. Well, you know, we tried to do it where he also used GarageBand, but he had an outdated GarageBand, and it only would, like, record 8 beats. it's not his fault. I'm not going to blame him. It's, you know, I should know how to do this, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, we'll get you a little bit more savvy so we can teach these other guys. Anybody out there who can show us better ways to get guests on the podcast and record them if they don't have GarageBand or anything other devices to record, we'd surely like to get your opinion because we are struggling on that scenario.
I mean, look, yes, if anyone can provide us any assistance, that'd be great, but I'm trying to figure that out too. But more to come from the Global Citizen podcast. It's just, we're just busy. It's just life, folks. It's life.
It's life. We had some other technical difficulties with the first podcast. We found a way to get it. Then we were uploading it. Thank you, iTunes, for hooking us up. We were able to podcast it out to the world. We usually also have it on SoundCloud so that for those who don't have, you know, iTunes or Google Play or whatever, we try to put it out there on SoundCloud. And for some reason, they wouldn't let us post it because of copyright infringement.
Well, they didn't let us post my theme song pretty much.
So part of his podcast, Joel wanted to use the tribe called Quest.
I like them young, brown, Puerto Rican, yellow, and Haitian.
Yeah. So SoundCloud was like savvy to the beat, savvy to the lyrics. And I chopped it up too. Like I actually like mixed it up so that it wasn't coming out like fully the way the song was. But it's really no different than any other thing that I do right now with the other podcast. So I was surprised that we could not use a snippet of the song as his intro. So therefore, they just scrapped the whole thing. I mean, I could post it.
They scrapped the entire thing, huh?
They scrapped the entire thing. So I could put it up, but I would have to remove your intro music.
Yeah.
And you would just have to go straight up.
Just straight vocals. But
straight vocals.
Is
acapella.
That SoundCloud or is that tribe hating?
I think it's SoundCloud protecting Tribe.
I see.
I even tried. I tried to fight it. I sent the letter. I wrote not a complaint, but just like, if you feel like this is an original thing, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that it says is, even if you use a snippet or you've altered the music just to show like parts of the song, that does not constitute as original form. So,
but I think it's Tribe though, because it's not like any of our other intros are original from
no, yeah, week. Absolutely. We're using music that's out there, and oftentimes when we talk about music, we play the music so that our listeners can hear what we're talking about. And I've never had any complaints on it. By no means am I claiming that this is our original music, but the podcast is ours. It is our original form. And, you know, us putting it together is just, Joel loves Tribe, and he loves that piece of the song that he wanted to use as his intro.
Come on, Fife.
Come on, Alicia.
Come on, Tip.
let's get this going. Give us some love. So yeah, sorry, SoundCloud listeners, if that's the only way you're listening to us on the pod, you gotta find a way to get us on iTunes, and maybe, you know, moving forward, we'll find a whole different way to get our shit on the air. And maybe put it on our own website. I still need to get that shit going. I haven't had the chance to do that.
Well, like we're talking about, like Ryan and I, we talk all the time. Life's been crazy. Everyone's just busy. It's that time, I guess, right before the spring. There's just a grind that everyone goes through.
Yeah, man. Trabajo has been really, really tough. Really, really hard working. Lost a man, so we're short a body, which means Rai, I got to go and pick up the slack.
Yeah, well, my job too, we're also kind of short staffed. It's just like everyone is just like,
just beasting,
bouncing. It's just like, just
every day,
the coop.
Joel tells me he wants to win the lotto.
I'm this close.
He's this close because the dream is to just to quit.
You know, it's crazy though. You know, when I was younger, my parents would play the lotto, especially my dad. He'd be like, let's do it. You know, he'd be like, $1 and a dream. And they'd be like, it's such a waste of time. Yo, I'm about to start playing these quick picks.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just like, oh, that's why you want to win $30 million.
So that's why. I get it now.
How much would it take for you? You'd be like, okay, you win the lotto. How much would it take for you to be like, I'm going to do absolutely nothing for the next 2 years.
For the next 2 years.
It could be forever. I'm giving 2 years as a safe number. I'm not going to be like 10. Like, what's the number where you're just like, you send all, fuck you, I'm out?
You know, even if I won $1 million, just one, and I'm talking pre-tax, so probably only come out with like 600, 500, something like that, right?
546, 831,
480, 22 cents.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that that's enough for me to just quit for 2 years. I would probably need to be in the double digit millions in order for me to take 2 years off. Only because I'd probably invest that into something and then just kind of relax for 2 years and see where my life will take me. You know, I feel like take care of all my loans, take care of all my debt. You know, I got a mortgage payment, so pay that all off. But then I got to invest in something, because then Uncle Sam's going to come at me and says, you got too much money with no investments. And so I need to have some sort of write off. And I'd probably do that and see if my investments can turn into some lucrative businesses that I can do on my own, where I don't have to go and work for somebody else.
If you leave the country, would Uncle Sam follow you? Uncle Sam be like, yo, I know you're in the Philippines. Like, we think I'm dumb. I know where you're going.
Yeah. As a citizen, I don't know those rules, but I'm pretty sure he will look for me. If I even, because you know what, in all honesty, I'd probably win $1 million and buck out to the Philippines and live off that. I could do, that's something I could probably do.
I wouldn't buck out, but I mean, you're thinking far, like investments.
Yeah,
definitely me. I would. Sally Mays is waiting for her check.
Yeah, your girl Sally. How's she doing?
I'll pay Sally in ones. I would make it rain on Sally Mae.
Strip club.
Oh my god. I would walk into the Sally Mae office, ask to see Sally Mae, and play bands and make a dance.
Clap, stripper pole.
What's that? Stripper pole her whole income?
Yeah.
I'd be like, remote control this, Sally.
Twirl.
Poke it like wet paint, Sally.
So what would you do? How much do you need in order to take 2 years off?
How much do I need in order to send all?
Yeah.
I mean, double digit is smart.
Like 10 million, you know what I mean? Like,
but the thing is, I think for me, I would just, I don't want to say I would get bored, but like, I like, part of me likes working, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You need to keep yourself busy, active.
Yeah, but I would just take the illest vacation.
You know what I would do, man?
What's that?
If I had 2 years where I had nothing to really do except invest my money into something, I'd get me a chef.
Mm-hmm.
I get me a personal trainer,
yeah,
and just somehow shape my ass to a six pack, and just live on the beach just to show that off for two whole years.
Walk around the window with no shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. Dodging raindrops.
Yeah, no, a personal trainer definitely is something that I would do.
But I feel like I need a nutritionist too, like a chef where I don't have to think about what he's cooking. Like, it's just all healthy.
Well, the thing is, you know, I definitely would want a nutritionist and a chef, but I would want the chef to teach me how to cook also. I think it's, I'd want that. I wouldn't just want someone to just do all those things for me. There are certain things that I would have someone just do for me where I don't even have to think about it anymore.
I mean, I know you, you mentioned on your last pod on your own how fellas need to step their game up with cooking.
Oh, I was talking to myself. Y'all didn't hear, but Man in the Mirror was playing in the background.
And I was thinking, I cook, and I feel like I'm a decent cook, but I also feel like it takes up so much of your time to, like, you know, I mean, just thinking about tonight, right? So for all you listeners out there, Joel worked out, I worked out, I came home, I cooked, and then Joel came as I was, like, on the bookend of cooking
and
dinner.
I ate it.
And Joel, I was like, Joel, you staying for dinner also?
Don't mind if I do.
So we ate, and then we decided to pot afterwards.
Yeah.
So just, I mean, you know, you came here almost like an hour ago, and I was just finishing cooking, you know? And
no, that's the thing. But, you know, sometimes, though, when I do cook, when I cook with my girlfriend, it doesn't take that long. But it's the prepping. And it's also, especially when you live in New York, or I'm pretty sure any big city, you come home late. I don't come home right after work.
Right.
I go to the gym, or I try to catch up with friends, or, right, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, C.
Right,
and you
right,
get
right.
home, and it's like the last thing you want to do.
Right. I mean, that's cook. That's also one of the hard things about doing these podcasts, too. It's like you and me, we're gonna try and get something more set for your Mondays and Wednesdays so that we can actually pod, because life happens, bro. Like, we got to go take care of our bodies.
It's the truth. It's the truth. But that's another thing I would do if I won the lotto. This is all I would do.
You're going to hear a podcast every day.
Every day, we got a 45-minute podcast. So today,
I clipped my toenails. That big one was fun.
I'd be like Mayweather. You see me like brushing my teeth in the tub with someone.
With some gold toothpaste.
Someone washing my back for me. Going to bed with money on the bed. Up. Spurs are down by 8 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So also, quick transition.
Real quick.
The last day of the NBA.
So, again, up in the studio, Joel's always catching the NBA. It's always on ESPN.
It is always on, but it's last day of the NBA. And
right.
Thank God the Knicks season is over.
Yes, it is a hard transition, but I think we're going to be all right because this fucking season is finally over, and I don't have to listen to the Triangle, Phil, Derek. I mean,
what a nightmare.
We can't even lose, right? We fucking beat the Atlanta Hawks, you know?
Okay. I mean, the Pistons tonight? Did we
No. We beat the Hawks, who are like the number one seed in the East, the other night. And it's like you're messing up our chances of having the worst record in the league. I feel as though I know Derek Fisher wants to be that coach that doesn't care about the tanking and all that. But I just, Why ruin that? That's our one chance to hopefully get the top pick.
But I don't even think that we're going to be good after we get a potentially a top pick. I think, honestly, and I'm being really negative, I know, I think we are going to ruin whatever young man comes to this franchise.
Yes.
It's just been so bad. It's been a joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've come to realize I do not like Carmelo Anthony. I just don't like him. I respect his game, kind of. And
he can't be our best player.
No. But I do think he's going to win a ring one day, but not with us. I think when it all comes down to when he's old, he's going to come off the bench for some team where he could just score. But right now, he is not a franchise player. The other day, I saw a commercial about winning, you know, the Final Four and teams that have won it. And they were interviewing players from the past, and they interview Carmelo Anthony, and he's gained weight. He's fat. I know he's hurt, but yo, you got a cook to cook for you the lean cuts?
he can't run, bro.
He doesn't have to run. Yo, working out is one thing, but diet is everything. This motherfucker looks like he's eating mofongo. He's from Panama, you know? Mofongo, tostones, that's what he's eating.
Wait, no, he's not from Panama. Isn't he Puerto Rican?
I thought it was Panama.
No, I'm pretty sure he's Puerto Rican, bro.
I thought Lala was Puerto Rican.
Well, yeah, but isn't his... He's got the tattoo on his... I'm going to look this up real quick. Keep talking. Yeah.
Well, he's from Latin America. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, Melo. I'm not Melo. You look fat. What are you eating? What the hell are you eating? What are you having him deep fry for you? What are you having your nutritionist probably deep fry for you? If you fried in olive oil, it's still not good for you, man.
Not, definitely not.
But I just think that him as the franchise is just disgusting. And, you know, it's year one, so I'm not ready to jump off the ship, but it's just not looking good. And I think that Phil Jackson thinks we're all idiots. And some of the stuff he's saying that I have a plan. What's the plan, Phil?
And Phil, we trust? Nah.
And it's just like, you know, I believe in that triangle offense bullshit, but it's just we're past that.
Right. So according to Wikipedia, which is not always accurate, but according to Wikipedia, Anthony was born in the Red Hook Projects in Brooklyn, New York City.
Right.
He was born to a Puerto Rican father and an African American mother.
Okay.
So yeah.
Sorry. From you're half Puerto Rican, but you're eating not well. I could tell, but whatever. Anyway, you know, the Knicks season's over, thank God. We can go on and on about the playoffs, right. But on a happier note, it's baseball season.
It is baseball season. I went to opening day on Monday for the Mets, Los Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
The Maisons.
Metropolitans. That was a fun... Let me tell you, for all you sports fans out there, I think opening day is by far one of the best days in all of sports because it's a fresh season, especially for those who are suffering fans like us Met fans have been. You have a clean slate. There's optimism in the air. The birds are chirping. Usually it's a little bit warmer, and it just feels good. Like, you know, winter's over, spring is here. Baseball's here. The boys of summer are finally coming back to play, and it's just one of the best feelings in the world. I love it. I've been going to opening day. I've been blessed to go the last 10 years I've gone to opening day. So, you know, it's something that I look forward to every year, and it's something I hope to continue doing because it's such a blast.
I went to one opening day. Maybe I think before I went to Haiti, so maybe like 4 years ago. But you're right. It's optimism. It's being outside. Yep. And it's baseball. And
it's baseball.
Some people hate baseball because it is long. Baseball. I know. Baseball make me betty, betty happy. But that was a Sammy Sosa impression, by the way. But I think as a Met fan, for the first time in a while, I feel a little optimistic. I don't have, you know, big expectations, but I don't think we're going to be god awful. We weren't god awful last year.
Right. I mean, we still have a very uphill battle, right? We got Wheeler's down for the year. He's got the Tommy John surgery. Mejia took some shit up his ass, and now he's going to be gone.
Danazol.
Now he's going to be gone for about 80 games, which is
that
half
is
the
harsh.
Season. That's harsh. That's harsh. I think once you get caught twice, though, it's almost a full season, though.
And then the third time is lifetime ban.
Something like that. It's pretty hard. As Big Papi would say, you know, me no use steroids.
Whatever. I think all players in all sports do something to get some sort of edge.
But here's the thing. I'm not saying I don't really care. Like I'm so over the goddamn steroid shit. But I do think that a lot of these players have personal trainers. They have nutritionists. They have a lot of people who are basically they just listen to them. Right. It's like, as an athlete, they're just on robot autopilot. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. You know, I think that's what I would do if I was an athlete. I'd hire somebody who I feel like I can trust, somebody who knows what they're doing and what and I would do my extensive research. But you take a substance that you think is fine and then all of a sudden it'll trigger something if you take a test and you had no idea. I really don't think that all these players who get caught knowingly know that they have taken stuff.
Probably not. You know? Probably not. But I think in terms of triggering something, I think I don't know if it triggers something because when they catch you for a banned substance, they're very specific in saying what the banned substance is.
So basically any banned substance, I would have a copy of that, give it to my trainer, and anything that he's trying to give me needs to be like, hey, where is it? You know?
Right.
Like, I don't know what those substances are that they take in general. Like, if there's, like, you know, when you get any type of food or whatever, there's usually ingredients. Like, do these substances have, like, a biochemical, like, ingredient list?
I'm sure they do, but you also have to keep in mind that some of these players, like Mejia, for example, now I'm not going to question his intelligence, but he's probably been playing baseball his whole life.
He's young.
He's young-ish.
Ish.
You know, I'm sure there's a language barrier, even though a lot of people speak English. But who's also, I also think it comes down to advising. Like, who's watching these players in any sport? Like, who has your back, really?
Let me ask you, do you think the Mets medical staff is a good staff? I feel like a lot of our players have really bad injuries, pulled hammies, you know, torn, you know, ligaments in their shoulders and all that. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like we've had an injury plague team for over 10 years. Like, we've been dealing with so many different injuries. Reyes was always hurt when we had him.
Well, I think Reyes has I think he has bad hamstrings.
Okay.
I think he has bad hamstrings.
David Wright missed 54 games last year due to a right hamstring injury. And look at him right now. He pulled it again or strained it or something. And he might be out for another 3 weeks. I mean, I just feel like sometimes, you know, not to go back to basketball, but like, look at some of the players like Grant Hill, who no matter where he was, Detroit, Orlando, that dude could not stay healthy. Then all of a sudden he goes to Phoenix and he finds like the fountain of youth and everything is fine there. Same thing happened with Shaq when he went there. He like
Phoenix,
lost stupid weight. And
I'm doing yoga.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I do believe that having a good medical staff helps keep your players injury free. They know what they're doing, you know, and I just feel like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think ours is questionable. But like when pitchers get hurt, I think that's kind of a crapshoot.
I was actually, so I was talking to one of my boys, big baseball fan, and I was asking him, I'm like, a lot of these players are young. Like Harvey's young, right? Wheeler is young.
25, 26.
Right. Strasburg, young. All of them got torn, you know, their Tommy John surgery. And I mean, DeGrom, too, he had Tommy John surgery. He's a little bit an older of a rookie. But, you know, you think about like Nolan Ryan and all these older guys who pitch rubber, you know, they had rubber arms. They pitched 9 innings straight. Came back 4 days later, 5 days later, pitched another hole. No issues, right? Like, why are these guys breaking down so early? They didn't even have pitch counts back then when they were playing, you know? And, like, now we're so over-micromanaging the game, you know, to the point where, you know, we're doing lefty-righties and, you know, seeing whether or not these guys can go 100 pitches before we pull them, et cetera. And I almost feel like that helps them not get injured, but more often I see them injured. And he said it's just because when they're in high school and younger, they play almost 100 games in a year just because, you know, they're doing AAU, they're traveling. So they're playing so much baseball that by the time they become a pro, their arms are pretty much like, you know, veteran.
And I also think, you know, pitching is an unnatural motion, number one. And number two, like someone like Nolan Ryan, like now I have no idea what he was doing when he was in high school, but when did he start throwing like curveballs?
I don't know.
Like that can't be good for your arm. Yeah. Like they one time they had a slow motion picture of Andy Pettit and his and he was throwing a curveball and like the flap on his elbow went upwards when it was when the motion was going down.
Right.
And it was disgusting.
Right.
And I'm like, that can't be healthy.
Nolan just with the straight heat. Fastball.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. Just, these motherfuckers, they smoke cigarettes in the clubhouse, drink beer.
Go out there.
Oh.
Just throw.
Now I'm like, oh, it needs to be gluten-free beer.
IPA.
Is that an e-cigarette? IPA. I want my beer to be hoppy.
Hoppy. Get that hoppy taste to it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I'm excited for the Mets season despite the recent injuries that we got. And I know that we probably aren't going to win anything this year, but I would like to see us compete for the wild card.
That's fair.
I think that's a fair goal to have for this team this year.
I'd like to see us compete, period. I think that division is not that great. I think
the Braves, because
every time I look at that national pitching staff, I get scared. But then Strasburg, I don't think he's that good.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's that good.
Yeah, I went to a Harvey Strasburg game 2 years ago.
Harvey's better.
We were at that game. That's right. Yeah. Harvey's better.
And then they paid Max Scherzer $100 quadrillion.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him. God bless him. Good for him. Good for you, Max.
Take it. Take that.
But
baseball money is so dumb.
Oh my God, it's oil money.
It's like, yeah, it is oil money, and it's
literally is oil.
It's so ridiculous that you would even consider contracting somebody for 10 years.
I don't understand. I mean, as a player, I'm not a player, but as a person, if I were a player or if I had a kid who played, I'd want them to get as much money as they could.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But I don't understand the mindset behind some of these owners. And like, of course, sometimes for any sport I'm like, oh, I want us to get the best player, but you know, at a normal price, for Christ's sake.
Right. That's why I'm not mad at this whole Granderson deal. 3 years, solid money, not even that crazy. What do you think about
I met Curtis Granderson.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think about all the critics who are buying these billboards saying sell the team, Will Pons? What do you think?
I mean, I think a lot of people don't like the Wilpons, me being one of them.
Yeah.
Because I think they're just lying to us, but they don't have to tell us anything.
That Madoff money hurt them bad.
Oh my God. I think it destroyed them. They didn't want to tell anyone.
They don't want to tell nobody.
I'm sure they lost a lot of money.
And we don't spend any money because of it.
Yeah. No, we don't. We don't spend any money. And it worries me when our young players get older, what's going to happen. But I think, in terms of selling the team, let's see how this year goes, because I think there has been a plan.
Yeah, I think that the plan was to get to 15 and 16. Had we had Harvey last year, and I don't know, Wheeler had an up and down year last year.
I don't think Zach Wheeler was that good.
For half the year, but I think that he's a solid rotation. I mean, you look at DeGrom, Harvey, Wheeler, Nice, G, Cologne, they got Syndergaard.
Bartolo Colon.
Matt, you know, it's like we have gunners, you know. We just need to make sure that they stay healthy so that we have the lineup and rotation throughout the year. Cologne, man, 2-0.
41 years old.
41 fat bastard that he is.
He don't care.
Eat all the lechon, chicharron, all that, platanos.
And I think that someone like Bartolo Colon is kind of, at this point, from the old school.
Yeah.
He throws nothing but fastball. He throws fastballs.
He makes you earn it. Earn it.
But I think I like now. Last year I was kind of down. I'm gonna stop being negative about New York sports except for the Knicks. But I kind of like the direction we're going in. We have a lot of young arms, and we'll see what happens, man.
We need batters and we need a shortstop.
Yeah, you don't Flores. Don't buy it.
Nah, Wilma. Nah, I'm sorry. I mean.
He's a third baseman, man, and they're not going to play him at third while Wright's out, which is smart.
I know, because he has to stay consistent. I don't know what Terry Collins is doing with this damn lineup.
I like Terry, by the way.
I do too, but I just feel like, again, we're fucking micromanaging too much. You know, like, I get the fact that you're trying to put Kadir in a spot where he feels comfortable, not too much pressure, and then you're also kind of giving Wright into that third spot, sort of. It's a two spot, but he's got Lagares in the last spot, and then, you know, Granderson leading off. He's not putting the pitcher, you know, he's stacking it up so that he can try and get some early hits, get the offense going. But our team is not an offensive team to begin with, so I don't understand the whole experimenting of it. I mean, if you're trying to be scrappy and win games later in the season, fine, do it then if that's what you think you're going to do. But have these guys earn their spot, man. Get out there, play the damn game, and hit the damn ball.
I think that when you look at this, though, it proves to me and to anyone else that we need another bat.
We do. We need a bat. Because we're getting real creative with how we're going to get our runs in.
Yes, but I don't think David Wright is a power hitter.
No, he's not.
For the longest time, he thinks that he is.
Right.
He is a number two hitter. He's a doubles hitter, and that's fine. But, like, when he thinks he's a power hitter, I think it really hurts him. He swings for the fences sometimes.
Yeah.
He can't hit in a big spot. Right. Never. He never could.
No, absolutely not.
It is what it is, but I think I don't mind having him in the number two spot.
But we've been grooming Lagares to be our leadoff, and then all of a sudden, opening day, and it's like, oh, you're batting, and look at what he's batting. He's batting like a one something.
I don't mind Granderson in the leadoff spot, and I don't mind what we're doing with Lagares right now. We signed him with a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
I think when I look at Lagares, I think of his defense,
yeah,
and I think of the potential power.
Right, but he's not doing anything right now with that power because
it's five games.
I think his head, yeah, but I think his head. He was doing great in a training season,
spring training,
and all that, because he was in the leadoff spot, and that's why they've been grooming him for that. So, I don't know. For me, baseball players are the most mental players ever. You do one routine off, or you throw them, and I can't do it. I've never quite understood. When closers get quote unquote demoted to setup guy, like, throw the damn heat. That's it. I don't get it. Like, what are you still need three out.
I guess that, you know, they're creatures of habit. For me, I'd be like, where's my money?
Joel's like, hold on. What do you want me to do? Okay, yeah, I got it. I can do it.
Well, how much? All right, let's do it.
I mean, that's kind of like why I like some of the, I mean, we amounted to nothing, but I like those utility players because they don't get that. I think I like Murphy because of that. Murphy, you know, he was second base, then he was trying to play first.
But it fucked with him for a little bit.
It fucked with him a little bit, but he got over it.
But I think he wanted to be a first baseman for a little bit. But yeah. I mean, it's worked out for him. He was an all-star last year. He's getting his money. I think that's what it all comes down to.
So I feel like we've talked enough about the Mets.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Let's go Mets.
Queens, baby. Queens. Yeah. Flushing, New York, baby. Action Bronson. Shout out.
You with the drop kick, Marty Jannetty.
And I stay in Flushing like I'm Dylan G. yo, shout out to Action Bronson. And for all of you who don't know, that is our intro live from Casino Park. You know,
he's just getting bigger and bigger. That
so
guy.
so fat, but I love it.
He made something. He's a chef, quote unquote.
Yeah, yo, he cooks, man. He goes, well, like, fuck, that's delicious.
Yeah, it looks good, but then you're like, yo,
there's nothing healthy about it.
No, hell no,
nothing healthy about it.
Pan-seared duck. I don't know.
His Bronson burger is beast, man. That is, it's bacon. It's like five patties. it's ridiculous. I think there's a chicken in there as well.
it's crazy.
But yo, shout out to Bronson. If Action Bronson ever wants to get on the Main 83 podcast, I'm a set you up, man. We'll get you live and in direct in the 718.
That's what I was listening to when I was working out today. Actually,
a little Action Bronson, his new tape.
No, just whatever I can get on Spotify.
Spotify. Have you been listening to
Tidal? No.
Tidal.
You know, we've had this conversation before, and I feel like it makes me come off as a hater. I just don't like Jay-Z anymore. To the point where I don't even want to hear his voice.
Wow. And okay.
I grew up on this guy.
Yeah.
Blueprint. When that came out, I was like, "This is the best album. It's my top, one of my top five."
You know why I couldn't like it, man? Because he was beefing with Nas at the time, and I was a little bit of a...
He was beefing with Nas, but like...
Ether.
Nas is the better lyricist, but Jay-Z is a superstar.
Yeah.
Jay-Z's goal was to be a superstar.
Right.
And I think if you look at it from that standpoint, Jigga Man is great. But I just... There's something about him. And Beyonce as well. Like, I just... That's what hip hop is to an average music fan. It's Jay-Z, right. And I guess I'm not okay with it. I could see
your point, because when I'm very passionate about music, and I get into those arguments where I'm like, "What? How do you think that that's better than that? Or how do you say that you like this but you don't like that?" You know, growing up in the '90s with the hip hop. You know, 94 was a great year. Joel's getting a little amped because he's watching the San Antonio New Orleans game, and it's about 9 seconds with New Orleans up by three. So,
yeah. But go ahead. 94.
So 94 was a great year. I felt like 93 and 92 was bubbling, and we were getting into those. You know, I have such a love for the old school hip hop, and I appreciate that Jay has been able to kind of keep up with the times, and also he may not be talking about what he talked about in Reasonable Doubt time, but I also feel like it wouldn't make sense for me to listen to a 40-plus-year-old dude talking about selling crack.
I'm not asking. That's not why I don't like Jay-Z, because, you know, when his last album came out, I was excited because, you know, I had the app on my phone, right, or whatever. And of course, anything you talk about as a human being, you're not going to talk about what you talked about when you were 21, even now, right, as a man in your 30s.
Right.
But I think there is just some, it's not like, it's just something about him that I just, it's almost like I can't.
Do you
stand.
Not like the fact how commercial he is?
I think it's that. It's one thing of how commercial he is.
And now he's become the standard bearer for what quote-unquote hip-hop is. So any right, common fan can say, "I'm a hip-hop fan because I listen to Jay-Z
or
Beyonce."
You know, like, for example, this Tidal thing, which I'm not even looking into. He makes a commercial, and it's a big thing, you know, and it's just like it's going to take over.
Right.
And what he's trying to do, he's trying to become this, I guess, this movement that like kind of like buys out smaller,
right,
companies so he can make it his own, you know, like, right, the threat of him buying Hot 97. Like, I would hate it if Jay-Z bought Hot 97, because it would change to a point where it wouldn't feel like it was ours anymore.
I don't think Hot 97 is ours anymore anyway, man. I mean, I don't listen to it as often as I used to, but a lot of folks, man, are no longer there. Mr. C, Angie, Cypher Sounds, Big Dennis. I mean, you know, they want to stand for hip-hop and R&B, and yet I kind of feel, and I'm not trying to get into a power versus Hot 97 argument here, I'm just thinking that they've gone more commercial in order to fulfill their marketing needs. So I go there, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, Bruno Mars on Hot 97. I hear Katy Perry because Juicy J is on her track. I hear Starships because it's a poppy sound, but it's Nicki Minaj.
But I think that's all radio now, though.
Well, yeah, but I feel like Power kind of keeps it real where they play some of that gutter music, you know? They'll rather play, you know, only from Nicki Minaj versus something that's more poppy.
I think maybe, but when I hear the radio, I think sometimes you'll go from Hot 97 to hearing one song, you'll switch, and then you'll hear the end of the same song on Power 105. I mean, look, maybe it's a personal thing I have against Jay-Z because I can't fully articulate why I don't like him anymore. And it's like I don't like Beyonce either. And it's even Kanye, and I love Kanye West, but there's something about Kanye that is just starting to bug me.
Yeah, his rants and what he feels about society, I just kind of feel like his whole Grammy speech against Beck for winning whatever was kind of...
I actually felt bad for Beyonce there because Beyonce wasn't trying to do anything.
Yeah.
And then when they just went, and I don't like Beyonce, but they went in on Beyonce when they were like comparing Beck's lyrics to her lyrics. And it was like
20 composers wrote four lines and Beck. And
Beyonce was like, not doing the hot dance.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about this song?
Man.
Hello.
Did Nicki sign this guy?
No, I don't. I have no clue.
I'm gonna say what I tell you about this song. I like that song. It's whatever.
Fetty.
Yeah.
Trap queen.
Gutter trash. But I saw the video, and the video is pretty offensive. It's just him cooking crack and selling it.
Well, that's what the song is about.
That's what the song is about. But, I didn't understand what the song was about until I saw the video.
Well,
you
didn't know it when he says, I introduced her to my stove.
Right. I think when I first heard the song, I was just listening to the beats and just like, hello. And I saw the video and I'm just like, yo, that's crazy. Like, but,
it ain't really anything more than, remember Wu-Tang videos back in the day when they were, showing, Ghostface and Raekwon the Chef and they were cooking in that
But I think it's different in the sense of, at least with Wu-Tang, there was, a back history of, we came from absolute shit. And, you might have had that, but then you had Ghostface making something like all that I got is you.
Right, right, right.
Mom's plucking roaches out the cereal box.
Yeah.
That shit ain't happening with this guy.
Water instead of cereal.
Yeah. Right. Wu-Tang was a movement.
Right.
These guys, I'm not trying to knock on their music, but the video is crap. But, even 2 Chainz, who I love,
he 2 had that music. Chainz?
Started from the rap, not trap. No matter where I'm at, I got crack.
Right.
I got krenak. But
krizak.
But, I'm not going to hate on dude, but I just... you YouTube these videos and it's just like, yo, that's what these motherfuckers is doing. And he has one eye. One of his eyes is fucked up, right?
Yeah, apparently he had
in the eye.
No. I don't
expecting
even...
the worst. Did he get bucked up in the eye?
Drive by. <Yeah. laughs> Nah. I think he came out with it and he said something like, either he has a disease or he had an accident when he was younger. Where he got hit in the head and somehow over the course of his youth, he lost vision in his eye and eventually he just lost that eye. No. Something that it was nothing thuggish or gang related about it. It was just something that happened. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He got into an accident. It got fucked. He fucked up his eye. We're about to wrap this up, but before we wrap it up, I know we might be a little late. But I think we should give a fair warning out to all our listeners because we love talking about this. So for all y'all here, cuffing season is over.
It's over, man.
Oof. That summer, those summer birds are coming back.
It was the summertime.
For someone who hates Beyonce.
I know. Whatever. That's old Beyonce.
So cuffing season is officially over for the 2014-15 season.
R.I.P. to all those He never said that we're official yet. I don't know what he's waiting for. He's waiting for May, girl.
He was waiting for May. He's waiting for May. April.
You know, I got the summer stage lineup. So I know it's going to be tough for these people.
It is going to be tough. It is going to be tough. You know, I don't know, man. Shout out to all the fellows out there who still do it. But I can't. It is tough to try and put yourself back. Like, you got something for the winter. It was nice. And now all of a sudden you're just going to let that loose. Maybe she wants to do the same thing.
Maybe, exactly. We're talking about it from the guy's perspective.
Right, right.
It's just, you know, but maybe she wants to do the same thing. Maybe she wants. She's tired of your fat ass.
She don't want it no more. That little rub belly that she got.
You grew during the winter. You're like, oh, I'm safe.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice and warm when you rub up on that.
So, ladies and guys, you know, cover season's over. And, but I mean, you know, I think back to my way back to my single days and that feeling where spring is in the air. And it's just like, God damn, everyone's been hiding.
Right, right.
And everyone's out.
It's funny, we call it bird watching season. And I felt like the minute it got to 50 degrees here in New York City, girls were bringing out them sundresses.
Belly shirts.
throwing away those heavy coats and putting on the light coats. And I'm like, it ain't that warm.
I think it's just like, it's almost like if I wear this, maybe the sun will just stay out.
Today was beautiful, but I'm curious how the summer season will be going for all you cats out there trying to get it in, trying to find your little summer bird to have some action. And hopefully y'all played it safe during this cuffing season and there's been no bad spillover as the season.
All my friends who were...
How are your averages?
Well, all my friends who were cuffed up during cuffing season are like pregnant now. So after a while, you don't carry the one. And then
cuffing season becomes eternal.
Exactly.
18 years more.
I know. But I mean, you know, I think cuffing season is also a lesson, though. I think it trains you.
How? In what way?
Trains you like, oh, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. Okay. For men and women. Yeah. For people.
For people.
It trains you like, oh, I like it when, you know, my mate does this. Or
right, right, right.
I like it when someone cooks for me. I like the security of XYZ. You know, next time, you know, we add something else to it.
I think... I want to try and get a female up in this to talk, because I've had some of my female friends reach out and be like, you know, I like this guy, I don't feel like we're on the same page. Y'all need to just be upfront about what you want. If it's cuffing, if it's a short thing,
I'm hugging the block.
That's right.
But it's easy to say I think you should be upfront, but being honest with yourself is hard for one, but being able to tell someone,
right,
hey, Billy or Becca, all I want
like, I don't know, it's like what JD said, right? You 21 and over, you need to turn this off.
Yeah.
25, like, you know, we're in our 30s. Most of our friends are in our 30s already, you know, and it's like, you ain't got time to be fucking around and playing around. But if that's what you want, then just be straight up about it.
I think so. I think part of it is
no
age.
Need to waste anyone's time, right?
I think part of it's age, but I also think it's mentally what you want. Right.
I mean, we've had a couple of our boys turning, you know, magic, 32. We've been going out to their parties, you know, and it's like... I love them. I'm going to be out there to represent, but it's like, damn, you're starting your night out at 11 o'clock. Starting your night at 11.
My birthday, we had dinner. And dancing afterwards. But,
you know, it's like, I can't start at 11 anymore.
Sometimes you can. You know what I don't
I mean,
like?
I did that night, but.
Yeah, it's tough. I went out last Friday and started kind of late, but it was fun. But. For me, it's the crowds, man.
Yeah.
It's people stepping on my wingtip shoes, on my Jordans. Like, I don't like that.
That's why you gotta know what you're going to wear and make sure you're comfortable with what happens.
I want to be able to wear whatever I want, whenever I want.
I'm all about those speakeasy places right now. Yeah. I love them. Although they're mad. A word?
The name right now, it's in Long Island City. It'll come back to
all
me.
Right, there's a good place also in Brooklyn that I want to check out, but Yeah, I'm all about that, man. I'm all about the speakeasies, even though every drink is $15 at minimum because they charge.
It's like ice and two splashes of whiskey.
Yeah. Anyway, bro, I think we're going to wrap it up right now. So for all our listeners out there, cuffing season's over. MLB season has begun. The Knicks, sorry asses, are done. We look forward to a good summer. We'll do our best to not make it a seasonal podcast. Can't do that. Try and come back with you with a hot one sooner than later. And hopefully we'll get some guests up in this piece, because what I want to do next time is get a female on here and get a female's POV on us. And I think, Joel, you're going to be joining Mel and I on the 4-point play.
Yeah, the tripod is coming up.
Tripod.
Our first tripod ever.
So we'll try and get that going. So I'm sure you guys are going to be hearing a lot more from us. Joel, you still stay on your global citizen grind.
We're working out those technical difficulties.
SoundCloud listeners, you're not going to hear it, but you're going to have to find a way to get on it.
iTunes,
Google Play, or whatever. So from the 718, y'all, peace.
Peace.